I wanted to talk about gifts of the Spirit and to answer some questions and to do some teaching about that, because I thought there was a need for teaching on that. Amen. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities in this translation, or in the King James it says operations. But it is the same God who works all in all. I'm glad we're not all the same. I would like me. I'm glad we're different. Now sometimes our differences, you know, we some have sharp elbows, but God likes variety. He's not a God of doing just the same thing. Every day in creation, He did something new. He doesn't repeat. As I've said so many times, science says that every single snowflake that falls is unique and different. And if God goes to so much trouble to make snowflakes, which are here today and gone tomorrow, different, He's taken enormous trouble to make each of us unique. Fingerprints. Even identical twins are different. So God did not give us all the same look, the same thoughts, the same gifts. But when we're brought together, we can form a body. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to do. You can't have a body that's all head. You know what you call a body that's all head? A monster. Right? You can't have all legs. Again, that wouldn't look good. But when all of the parts are working together, the Bible says fitly praying together, then you have something that can achieve something. And that's what God has called us to do, to be His body. He is the head, we're the body. Amen. And so today we're going to look at the things He has given us to equip us, to enable us to be the body of Christ. Now the Bible speaks about gifts, and there's several different words used in the New Testament to give different aspects of gifts. There are three Greek words. Charisma. We've heard that someone's got charisma. Well, the original meaning means supernatural abilities. Supernatural abilities. And the other word that's used is doma, and it means gifts in general. And it's more about the action of giving. The action of giving. And then the last one is dora, which is a gift as an honor, when someone is given an honor. And so those three words are used about gifts in the New Testament. And so I just wanted to go over that. But let's look at that. There are many scriptures, there are at least three scriptures that mention spiritual gifts or gifting or operations of the Holy Spirit. But of course, the most important one is the Holy Spirit itself. You have to have that to have any of the other gifts operated. Luke 24:46. This was Jesus when He was leaving. He gave the promise that there was going to be a permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And He said unto them, He was explaining, because they didn't understand why Christ had to suffer and die. They were expecting a Messiah to come and to overthrow the Romans and set up the permanent kingdom of David. And they didn't understand the scriptures that spoke about a suffering Messiah. So Jesus explained it to them. He said, thus it is written, and thus it behold Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. That was the promise of the first gift, the gift that gives all the other gifts, the Holy Spirit. There's some people who have a gift of making money. And I've heard it said about these people, you could take away everything they've got right now and come back in 5 years and they'd be rich again. You ever heard of that? That some people, you could take everything away from them, they would get it back because they just have that gift or that skill with finances. I'm not that person. But God has been merciful to me.
Amen.
But he said, I send the promise of my Father. So the Holy Spirit is the gift that keeps on giving. The one thing that the world cannot take away from you. Satan can take all kinds of things away from you. He can take material things. He can separate families. He can cause discord. But if you're a child of God, he cannot take your Holy Spirit, because the Bible says nothing shall separate us from the love of God, which is what?
In Christ,
in Christ Jesus. So the only thing that can separate is you.
Right.
Your choice. But if you choose to stay with God, nothing can separate us from the love of God. So the first gift that was given, or the gift that gives all the other gifts, is the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 49, Jesus said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry, that means wait. So the early church had to wait. But we, truthfully, don't have to wait. It's come. It's for us to get to the point of true repentance to receive. That's all we have to do. Get to the point where we truly repent. The early church had to wait until the day of Pentecost. So he said, tarry, that means wait. Wait in the city of Jerusalem until he be endued with power from on high. He didn't tell them how long. He didn't say it's going to be 50 days, although that's what it was. And the Bible says that on the day of Pentecost there was only 120, but I believe there were more than that. But some people got impatient. They wouldn't wait. Sometimes we don't wait upon our blessing. We don't wait upon the gift. God has promised to us, and we should just see it develop. But on the day of Pentecost, those who had waited, had tarried, it says there came a sound as of what? A mighty rushing wind, and it filled the house. Filled the house. Then it filled them, and it was noised abroad. And that is the gift that we first and all must have. That's not a selected. It's just like blood. Every single cell in the body has to have a blood supply. Now, every single cell in the body does not have the same function. But every single cell in the body must have a blood supply, must be able to exchange waste and receive oxygen. There's no part of the body that doesn't receive those nutrients. Now, probably the eye is the only place where it's not red, but there are fluids that do the same function as blood. Every other single place of the body, any cell that does not receive the blood supply, what happens to it? It dies. That song that we sing, you are the air I breathe.
Yes, Lord.
Your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
What's the next word?
Living in me.
That's the word. That's what this gift is. It's, if you don't have this gift, Jesus said, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are what?
Yes.
Now that's a hard saying. That might seem very judgmental, but that's the truth. It's just the truth. Any part of your body that is cut off from blood will die. So the promise, the first gift, and the most important gift that brings forth all the others is the Holy Spirit. And it only comes from true repentance from the heart, not from the mouth, but from the heart. They said on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, men and brethren, what shall we do? They were convicted. They realized that the state they were in. What shall we do? And he said, repent.
Yes.
Turn around. Be sorry.
Yes.
Not be sorry you were caught.
Uh-huh.
But be sorry from your heart.
Yes.
Be convicted.
Yes.
And pledge, promise to try and forsake those things. Turn away from those. If you do that, God will do the rest. He will start to work. The Bible says on that first day, 3,000. Received and became born again. Amen. So that's the most important gift. And once we have that gift, the Bible says that there are others. There are others that come along with that. Amen. Ephesians 4:6 says, there's one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Now this is very important. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now what does it mean, the measure of grace? It means some of us need it more than others. Some of us were in a more mess than others. You know, some of us had gone pretty far out on a limb. We needed a lot of grace. I needed a lot of grace. I needed a lot of help. Amen? I needed a lot of mercy. Maybe you were a good person. Maybe you didn't need, but the Bible says, unto everyone is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts plural. So we get all the Holy Spirit, but we also get another gift. And he gave gifts unto men. Now this is awesome. This is awesome because let me go on and I'll get to it. I find this is all good. If God gives you a gift, it's not one you're going to give away. You know, you ever had gifts that you just want to repackage it and give it on to somebody? They call that what? Re-gifting? Oh, wonderful! I got another pair of white socks. But when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift, it's precious. It's unique. It's special. It's great. It's good. It is the best. Matthew 7:11. Jesus was saying, talking about when the Father gives you something. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give you good things to them that ask him. Bible says another, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Let him ask. I have to ask every day. Before I get up in this class, I say, Lord, give me wisdom. Give me strength. Give me understanding. Give me counsel. Because sometimes the issues are just like the two women with the baby. And they both claim it's their baby. Right? You need Solomon's wisdom sometimes. And you don't have to be a pastor to need God's wisdom. Even in your daily walk and understanding with what you have to do in your life, you have to ask for God's wisdom. But I tell you what, every gift that comes from God is going to be a good gift. He doesn't give you any duds. He doesn't give any failures. He only gives good gifts. Amen. In fact, the Bible says in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. He's not going to change, neither shadow of turning. That means he's not going to change depending on, you know, you have some friends, depends on their mood or the day or what they're going through, how they are. But God is not like that. The Bible says he's a friend that sticketh what?
Closer
than a brother. He's a friend that you can depend upon. And when he gives you a gift, it's going to be a good gift. Amen. Now, we're going to teach in the coming weeks about understanding the gifts. And this week is going to be just a little bit of an overview. The main scripture, though, there are three that I'm going to bring, but the main scripture that talks about gifts is 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are diversities of gifts. I think there are different kinds. Yes, let's stop and pray for Sister Mika's mother. If you could all stand and some of you may could gather around. Do you know what is the issue she's in pain? Okay, well, whatever it is, if it's just depression, we're going to take a time out here and pray for her.
Amen.
You can lay your hands upon her. Lord, we just ask right now, Father, that your Holy Spirit just minister to her soul. We ask right now, Father, we rebuke and come against any spirit of depression, of doubt, and fear. Lord, we ask, oh God, right now that her soul, her spirit is comforted. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke everything that is not of you, Lord. Give her a joy and a comfort and a restoration of spirit. Right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. Hallelujah. And we lift up your name and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give God a praise offering right now, believing that God will comfort her. Amen. Amen. If she needs to go next door, that's fine too. Amen. But God has promised us that if we ask in faith believing, he's an answer of prayer. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts. But that means there are different kinds of gifts. But the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. I don't have the gift of, I'm not very good at just going into places and talking to people. I try. Maybe some of you are better. There's some people, they can draw a crowd. They just have that personality that people are attracted to them. There are differences of ministries. It's a ministry to clean this church. You know what I mean? It's a ministry to clean this church. It's a ministry to be able to paint and do stuff. That's a ministry because all those things are part of things that we need. Amen. It's not all about being up here. It's a ministry to cook. It's a ministry to encourage and just to pray for people and to say, I'm praying for you. And there are diversities of activities, it says. In the King James, it says organizations. But it's the same God who works all in all. Because remember, it's speaking about a body. And a body is made up of many different parts. As I said before, the body is all head or all one part. What you have is not a body, you have a monster. And the church is not a monster. It's supposed to be fitly framed together. And when all the parts are working, there's someone praying, someone cleaning, someone cooking, someone calling somebody, someone witnessing, someone teaching. When all the parts of and the gifts, there's someone praying for miracles, someone speaking, someone giving interpretation. When all the parts, that's when the church will really progress and be strong. So we're going to look at the three things it says in this scripture. It speaks about diversities of gifts. Diversities of gifts. Then it speaks differences of ministries. Differences of ministries. And then it speaks about diversities of operations. So those are some of the things we're going to look at. Different diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, and there are diversities of operations. Now there's some food I don't like. But as I grow older, that's been less the case. When I was younger, certain I couldn't stand cheese. Now I love cheese. I don't know what happened. Maybe I got the Holy Spirit. There are other things when I was young. I hated broccoli. Now I eat broccoli. I pretty love broccoli. I don't know if that's the Holy Spirit changed my food. But you see, we can change to appreciate different things. We can change to appreciate different things. Let's continue looking at the gifts. There are three main scriptures that I'm going to call out that deal with it. The one I just showed you was Corinthians. But also in Romans, Paul makes some mentions, and I'm going to go over some of their things. In Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 6 to 8, Paul speaks about prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving. Now, I bet you didn't notice giving was a gift. Giving is a gift. Some people don't have that gift. Maybe someone said they don't want it. Okay, giving is a gift. Amen. Leadership. A gift of mercy. Believe it or not, Paul speaks about those things in Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. We just read Corinthians 12, 8 through 10. And just to summarize some of the things, that's the main scripture about gifts. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, that means discernment, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then in 1 Peter 4:11, he speaks about preaching, or whoever speaks and whoever renders a service. Those also are gifts. Those are also gifts, whoever renders services. So those are the three main scriptures in the New Testament that talk about gifts. And so we will be looking at all of those in the weeks to come and going through some of them. Now, here's something. What's the difference between the fruit of the Spirit and the gift of the Spirit? Yes. Does anyone would like to care to tell me the difference between the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit? Because there is a difference.
Yes, we do. Amen. I'll take the fruit of the Spirit first. And it's my fruit of the Spirit. Those should manifest what's in the Holy Spirit. We should be manifesting love, joy, peace, and goodness, temperance, self-control. Those should be coming naturally when we receive the Holy Ghost. But I'm speaking in tongues, but these gifts, these fruits, should be manifested. Now, for the gifts are ones that God gives to us and they take special grace to operate, and they have a specific function and purpose in the body of Christ.
Okay, that's kind of close. Let me give you, go ahead, Philip.
I guess if I thought about it, they are very similar. I guess if I would say a fruit of the Spirit, that would be after you've already received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So I guess in my mind, one is just a past tense of another one.
Okay, let me read this scripture in John 15:7. If ye abide in me, and I quoted this before, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. So shall he be my disciples. That's a clue to the difference between gifts and fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is not instantaneous, it's a process. Fruit doesn't come instantly, does it? No. The gifts of the Spirit you get at the beginning. The fruit is a result of it. Is a result. The fruit of the Spirit is something that a mature Christian will exhibit. And it's also the true test of really whether you're a Christian at all.
Right.
If you're not exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, then you're like a fig tree with just leaves. Silence. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Let me say it again. The fruit of the Spirit shows a mature Christian. Love, joy, peace, all of those things flow from the Holy Spirit. But the gifts of the Spirit, you can get the gift of the Spirit as soon as you get the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Now, you may not be aware of it or know how to use it, but it's not a process. That's the difference. The fruit of the Spirit denotes a mature Christian. Let me go on. So gifts are freely given. Fruit are the result of a process. The Holy Spirit gives the gifts. And really, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. Fruit bearing is proof of being a genuine Christian. With the fruit, the Holy Spirit gets. You get the gift, and you give back through manifesting. Isn't that what Jesus called in the parable? A certain vineyard owner planted some plants, and he went away and came back to see what he should what? Receive. When God gives you the Holy Spirit, you should be giving back fruit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, long-suffering. That is the test of how mature a Christian you are. If you're not doing that, then you need to look at your vine. Because he said, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, then ye shall bear much fruit. And this is the test if you're going to be his disciple. Because the Bible says the gifts and calling are what?
Without
repentance. You can get a gift just because you got fruit of the Holy Spirit. Sister Janice?
I just wanted to ask, can you have the fruits without the gift?
No.
Okay. So you can't have the fruits?
No.
No. The gifts without the fruit.
And you can have the gifts. The gifts is right there. You may not even know it, Sister Janice, if you want.
Okay, so speaking of tongues, I just many manifestations of the Spirit, and love, joy, peace, honor, all those things are manifestations of the Spirit, then is it safe to say that a person can have the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues?
I think that this is what the Bible says, that Jesus said to Nicodemus, everyone that is born of the Spirit, you're going to hear the sound of it. So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit. It's like if a baby was born and never made a sound, they would be worried, right? They'd start to do suctioning because they want to hear that first breath. The Bible, and I'm going to give you the difference between gifts of the Spirit, gifts of tongues, and the Holy Spirit. There is a difference. So I'm going to answer your question in this lesson a little bit later. But there is a difference, and the Bible gives us evidence in the New Testament that nobody who was denoted as having been filled with the Spirit, the reason how they knew it says, and they heard them. No one in the New Testament was ever pronounced filled with the Spirit without them saying, and they heard them. Sister Johnny, and I'll explain some more.
Okay, I was just going to say, the gifts of the Spirit are, like you say, without repentance, it's a gift. it's a gift, because God says it's a gift, just like the gift of the Holy Spirit is a gift. But the evidence of it is speaking in tongues, because it is a spirit and you can't see it. Then God gave it the tongues so that you can know that you have the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the fruit is, the bear's fruit is the gift that comes from the Holy Ghost, is that you will bear a fruit. Because the Holy Ghost is a spirit, it has to show something in order for you to know that you have it. So it bears a fruit. And the fruits is what the fruit of the Spirit, what God say they are. And that's how you will know that if you are in Christ, if you are abiding in Christ, then you're going to bear everything that Christ said you would bear.
Amen. So let me try and answer your question. I don't want to go into it in detail, but Scripture tells us, Jesus told Nicodemus, so it is with everyone that is born of your spirit. He likened it to the wind. You can't see it, but you hear the sound thereof. And then in the book of Acts, the five times that someone is declared to have the Holy Spirit, it's the witness was, and they heard them speak with tongues. In Acts chapter 8, when Philip was in Samaria, the people were baptized, but it says, as yet, none of them were filled with the Spirit. How did they know that? Because they had not heard them speak. And they called for Peter and James, and they came and they laid hands on them. And it said that they then received the Spirit, and it, because they manifested. Same thing in Acts chapter 10, verse 48, when in that case, someone was filled with the Spirit before they were baptized. And it said, as Peter was speaking, they heard them, the Holy Spirit fell on them, and they spoke in tongues. They spoke in tongues and they manifested. We see in Acts chapter 19, the disciples of John. Peter said, he looked at their worship, and there was something very different about it. He noticed there was something different about it. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And that proves that belief alone doesn't mean you get the Holy Spirit. Because they believe, but it says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said, no, we have not even heard if there be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And so he explained to them that the baptism of John was unto repentance. And so they were baptized again in the name of the Lord Jesus, and he laid hands on them, and they received the gift of the Holy Ghost. So we can see that there are two parts that Jesus outlined, born of the water and born of the Spirit. And in every case in the New Testament where someone was declared to be filled with the Spirit, there was the evidence, there came a sound. Now, I will say this. After receiving the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, sometimes our Pentecostal churches put too much on that alone. It says these signs. Where's the rest of the signs? Right? It wasn't just speaking in tongues. We should be seeking for the other signs. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. We put too much emphasis on speaking in tongues alone. When you have received the gift of the Holy, and this is what this lesson is about, after you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, you need to manifest the other gifts. Don't stop there. Ask God to reveal to you what is your other gift. Wouldn't it be great if not only you spoke in tongues, but you could lay hands on the sick, or you worked to interpret, or you had a word of wisdom, or you could give prophecy, or you could discern spirits? But we just go after that first thing, and we don't follow up, and that's what this lesson is about. The difference between gifts and fruit is the gift is right at the beginning, but the fruit is a process. It's just like she testified. She'd been struggling with the cigarettes, but it took a while, and she believed she got delivered. The fruit will manifest if you continue. When you plant something, it doesn't give fruit the next day. It's a process. So the fruit of, we should start to, if you've been in church anytime, you should have started to manifest. Your spirit should not be always angry and just, you know, ready to hit back at everyone. You should manifest the spirit of grace. There should be a peace in you. There should be a humility. You should start to see a difference. People should start to see the fruit growing, because he said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, then you shall ask, And if you are abiding in the vine, you're going to bear much fruit. So if you're not bearing those fruit, then your connection to the vine is a bit shaky. Let me just be plain. Your connection to the vine is a bit shaky. If you are still exhibiting all the same things you did 5 years ago, you need to examine how grounded you are, how planted you are, how much word have you got in. But if you have truly been planted, you are going to change. It may be slow, but there will be a change. That's what the Bible says. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. So fruit is different from the gifts. Let me give a definition of the gifts. So, the Holy Spirit gives gifts. The fruit is the result of that. The Holy Spirit gets fruit. Amen?
Amen.
That's the difference. Let me give a definition. A spiritual gift, then, is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability given to a believer to enable him or her to serve. By serve, I mean minister, to do something for the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example. The Bible, Paul says in Ephesians that the Holy Spirit gave him the gift, or one of the gifts, to be a servant, a minister, a preacher. Where I was made a minister. How was he made a minister? According to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. So God gave Paul the gift to be able to speak. In fact, when he was on the road to Damascus and the light came down, that's what he was told. Paul, he told Ananias, I'm going to put you before kings. I'm going to put you before potentates so that you can declare to them my word. And so the Holy Spirit, one of Paul's gifts was to speak, was to teach. So spiritual gift in the smallest definition then is the ability, spiritually empowered, to minister, to serve in some capacity for God. That's what it is. Now I want to give you some truths, some other truths about spiritual gifts. And I won't cover all of them this week. We have a few weeks. Now, 1 Corinthians 12:1 tells us something. Remember I told you how to look at Scripture and to really look at it with fresh eyes? And to study it. Now look at this scripture. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So what jumps out at you about that? Okay. Right. It means people can have the gifts and don't even know it. That's why he began to teach about it. Amen. Exactly. Exactly. So it could be that you have gifts and are ignorant. That's what Paul was implying. Now concerning spiritual gifts, but I would not have you ignorant. That's why he began to teach on it. So it is in fact sure that if you have the Holy Spirit, you have at least another gift. So that there are Christians that are unaware of their spiritual gift or how to properly use them. I misspelled that. Amen. Let's go on. So that's one thing about spiritual gifts. Okay. Only believers have spiritual gifts. That came up before. See, we don't confuse talent with a spiritual gift. A lot of these TV evangelists, they have talents. They are great orators. But I don't know if it's necessarily a spiritual gift. Only believers have spiritual gifts according to 1 Corinthians 12:3. It says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now what he means, he's not speaking in the sense of yes, someone can just say it, but he means operate, declare, preach. Effectively, no man can say that but by the Holy Spirit. Number two, every Christian has at least one gift. I've said that before. 1 Peter 4:10 tells us that. As every man has received the gift, even so minister or serve the same one to another. If we have a gift of giving or of encouragement or of praying, it's there to help someone else. At the start of the ladies walking, I said a few words. I said, When you pray tonight, pray for other people. That's what I said. Because that's the strength. Pray for other people. That's what we're called to pray. Bible says that Job's captivity was turned, not after he spoke to God, not after he spoke to his friends, when he prayed for his friends, when he prayed for other people. That's a hard thing to do, especially for me. I want to pray for myself. I have a long lot of stuff that I want God to do. But you know what? God already knows that. God already knows that. He says, do unto others as you would. So when you pray for others is when God will meet your need. Isn't that strange? It's when you pray and look about others, God will meet your need. Amen. So every Christian has at least one gift. As 1 Peter 4:10 says, as every man has received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Here's another truth. It's the Holy Spirit that decides what gifts I get. It's good to go to seminary if you want to be a preacher, but to be honest with you, my only belief is you can't be a preacher unless God actually calls you. You can go to all the colleges. It's not like any other calling. It's not like, okay, I want to be a doctor, so I go to med school and I become a doctor. I truly believe if you're going to be a minister, it has to come from God. You can go to all the book learning you want. You can know the Greek, the Hebrew, all you want, but that won't make you called of God. On the other hand, you can be a fisherman, throwing nets, and if the master says, follow me, he'll give you everything. He says, it will be open your mouth, Peter, and it will be given to you. So it's the Holy Spirit, truthfully, that decides what gift. I can want all kinds of things, but it's the Holy Spirit that really has to give and follow that gift. You know, you may be a curmudgeon. You know, just a very mean old person. You know, when people say, what a beautiful day, so what's good about it? That kind of attitude. It takes the Holy Spirit to change that kind of attitude. To change that to someone who loves people. I'm trying to see words. But to be a pastor, I've always told you had to love people. And that I was just saying, well, then that lets me out. Because that's a hard thing to do. But you have to see people the way God sees them. Not the person who is hateful and abrasive and loudmouthed that's standing before you, but that person as a soul who is ignorant and doesn't understand where they may be going, and to have a love for them. The Holy Spirit decides what gifts I get. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal, or to one is given. That means it's given by the Holy Spirit. When you get a gift, you don't tell the person giving it to you what gift. You just get it, right? When your parents gave you a gift, you may have asked for something, but it was up to them whether they gave it to you, right? For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. This is showing that it's the Holy Spirit that gives the gifts. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Now, all of these are different. These are special gifts. Now, everybody has a measure of faith. So there's a difference between the gifts and the rest of the attributes. Like, we all must have faith. But there is a gift of faith. There is a special anointing, gift of healing. There is a special gift of tongues that is different from just the infilling of the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm trying to say to you, Denise, and I will get into more. So there is a difference. And that's why people get confused about the tongues, because, as we shall see later, Paul speaks about speaking in tongues and how it should be done. But in one case, he's speaking about the gifts, and in another case, he's speaking about the Holy Spirit infilling and private prayer, and people get confused. So we'll get to that. We'll get to that. To another, by the same Spirit, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. We see in the new book of Acts when Paul was going back to Jerusalem for the last time that there was a prophet called Agabus who came and bound him, took his girdle and bound him to signify what would happen to him when he went back to Jerusalem. So he prophesied, this is what awaits you. And Paul knew what awaited. He said, in every place city I go, in Acts chapter 20, he said, they tell me, bonds await me when I go to Jerusalem. But he says, nothing moves me. When you have a job from God, then you don't need to fear. When he went to Jerusalem, he was arrested in prison. The Bible said the Lord spoke to him and said, listen, Paul, don't be afraid. You're in my will. Sometimes because you're in prison doesn't mean you're out of God's will. If you're in there because you're doing God's work. If you get opposition, if you get criticism because you're doing God's will and His work, then don't be afraid. Because God has got a plan for your life. The Bible says to die for Christ is gain. Is gain because if we believe what we teach, if we were to die, if this tabernacle were to dissolve and you're filled with the Spirit, there's only one place you can go. That's heaven. You're going to appear in God's throne room, so you can't lose. You truly cannot lose as a Christian. So to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. These are some of the gifts. And I put there, everybody has a part to play. So we need to find out what our gifts are. We really need to find out because the church operates better when all the members are working. You know, if there's part of your body that's not working, that means what? You're sick. Right? If there's a part of your body that's not working, it means you're sick. So, my job is to make sure that all of the parts of the body are working. And it won't threaten me if that part of the body is working correctly. Right? If that part of the body, if the whole body is growing together, that's fine. So now, there are misuse of the gifts. And that can destroy the body too. That can destroy the body too. That's why we have pastors. That's why we have... I'm accountable to the presbyter. Because there can be misuse of gifts. You know, you give your child a water gun and now he's got the living room all wet and all your papers and there's water all over the place. Something you gave him to have fun, now he's coming to destroy your living room. So there can be misuse of gifts and we need to touch on that too. And how a gift should operate under the Holy Ghost. So let's look at some of the things about gifts that people get confused about. I said, don't confuse gifts with natural talents. Some people are good at certain things and it's not because of the Holy Ghost. They're just good at it. If you're 7 foot tall, you're probably going to be a much better basketball player than me. Has nothing to do with the Holy Ghost, right? Just because you're taller than me. So people confuse natural talent with the gifts of the Spirit. Don't confuse the fruit of the Spirit with the gift. Someone turn to Galatians 5:22 for me. Galatians 5:22 and 23. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Someone could read it out loud for me.
But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering.
Love, joy, peace, long suffering. Keep going. Okay. Right. Fruit, as I said before, shows my Christian maturity. When you're immature, you act the wrong way. When you see a child act up, you say they are immature. Right? If you're mature, you're going to deal with the same situation differently. Because you've been through some things. And you know how to act. Gifts, though, are from my ministry. So, fruit shows my maturity. Gifts are from my ministry. And as I said, don't confuse gifts with the roles. And again, don't put the way I minister on other people. We're all different. Don't expect your ministry to be the same as mine. You're unique. You're going to reach different people than me. Right? God has made us different for a reason, so we can have the maximum effect. In the body, if all the cells were the same and had exactly the same makeup, you know what happened if one of them got sick, if a bacteria attacked one? They'd all die. The reason why the body can survive is because there's billions of cells that are all different. And so when there comes an attack, it can't kill all of them. And those that are immune will multiply and eventually destroy that infection. So God has many reasons why our ministries may be different. Be aware of gift protection. Expecting others to serve the same way you do and have similar results. I'm not a real evangelistic preacher, but I love good evangelistic preaching. My gift is more teaching. But I'm not jealous of those who can preach evangelistically. That's great. That's needed too. Don't make your gift feel superior to others. Well, I got all five of these gifts. You only have one, so I'm better than you. God has let me heal people. I can prophesy. I'm going to change my title to apostle, prophet, doctor. No. The body has need of all of its toes and fingers. Can't the toes say I'm better than the finger? No. You ever get a ingrown toenail, you soon find that out? Suddenly, you need to really protect that part that you don't really think much about it. So, spiritual gifts are necessary, but we also have to value each other's differences and ministry. You know, I might not go down to McDonald's on Saturday morning, my sister Johnny, and be able to talk to all of the people. Right? But she has that gift, and you enjoy it. You can tell when you have a gift that your ministry, because you're enjoying it. It's not, I come in here on Saturdays and Shanita and cleaning, and they look like they're having a good time cleaning. That's such a blessing to me. Amen. Sister Hannah at the nursery, I couldn't be with all the little children screaming all the time. That's a ministry. That's a blessing. But without all of us doing the little things that make the body work, then the body would not function properly. So those are some of the things we have to look out for. And I'll be going into much more detail in the weeks to come. Now let's look at misusing spiritual gifts. And I want to go into to answer what Anise asked about tongues and the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians, this is a scripture that is used against speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:29, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Now first of all, you have to ask the question. This is the same Corinthians chapter 12, where a few verses up. What is the context? What is Paul speaking about? What is all of chapter 12 about? Gifts. So when he's speaking here in 29, he's still speaking about gifts. He's speaking about the special gifts. So when he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, all who speak with tongues, he is speaking about the gift. But some people misinterpret this to mean, see, you don't have to speak in tongues. Because he says, do all speak in tongues? No, he is speaking in context about the gifts. There is a special gift of tongues. That's what he's speaking about. But people misuse the scripture to say, see, it means not everybody who has the Holy Spirit will speak in tongues. No. You have to take the context. He's speaking about the gifts. And that proves it, because the very next verse says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. So he's speaking about the gift of tongues. And he's saying not everyone has the gift of tongues, which means that's their gifting to speak in maybe a human language and interpret, or in a heavenly language and interpret. He's not saying people don't have to speak in tongues. And I've said this many, many times so you get it. This whole chapter is on the gifts. Now we know,
what's the difference between the gift of the Holy Spirit? Like, what are you saying makes it different?
What makes it different is tongues and interpretation. It may see they have a different function. The gift of tongues, when someone is speaking publicly, is for the edification of the whole church. Now, as I've said before, sometimes we overemphasize that because the scripture says with the public speaking in tongues, there should be interpretation. That's the difference. The gift of tongues is there for the edification of the whole church. The Holy Spirit speaking in tongues is for your spirit's edification, which you can do at home in your private prayer. But when we speak in tongues in the church, now we get carried away. And I'm not saying it's negative, but I'm going to go into the proper operation of it according to Scripture. When we speak in tongues in church, it should be for the edification of the church. Paul says, if it's not, you need to sit down. That's not me speaking. Isn't that what he said? He said by turn, they should take it by turn, and there should be interpreted. Otherwise, you should sit down. Now, I don't want to quench the Spirit. Don't get me wrong. Because sometimes we get touched by the Holy Spirit, we speak in tongues, and it's not the gift of tongues. You know, I'm not trying to quench that, but truthfully, when we're in worship, in a communal service, the gift of tongues is what should be operating. And with that should also be the gift of interpretation. I'll let him and then I'll come back to you.
While I was sitting back there, there's two things that really came into my mind that I think about a lot, especially when I'm at this church and I'm with you. You know, one thing that I noticed is that over and all, you know, there is some kind of blurred line between, you know, discerning or being able to understand the earthly, what dwells here, and then what dwells in heaven. And it brought me back to, I think, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 15 and 40. I was actually just reading it. And it says that the heavenly bodies dwell heavenly and the earthly bodies dwell earthly. You know, and that's kind of, you know, just it. You know, what dwells in heaven and what's heavenly will remain that way. And what happens on earth and what happens amongst people will remain that way. I think that's kind of the difference between, you know, why you may seem kind of, you know, a little trying to understand, a little bit confused about it. Just because, you know, things are supposed to be heavenly and things are supposed to be earthly. You know, that's just it. And one thing that I noticed with you, even when I think about pastors, like, you know, his father and everything that's happened with him, I think that's such a blessing, you know, and that's why this church is so blessed, because pastor had such a praying father and such a praying mother, you know, that did so much work and, you know, making sure that he was raised the right way, and, you know, he had an awesome wife, you know, he had kids and all of that. You know, I honestly think that's a beautiful gift, you know, that happened, and it's bear a lot of fruit, you know, that should really show and tell what he can do, you know,
okay.
Overall.
What I want to do is try and answer her question here. Okay. You asked the difference between the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues and the gift of tongues. Let me try and be very clear. The gift of tongues is for the edification of the church. Alright? That's what it's speaking about. So maybe not everybody has the gift of tongues for the edification of the church, but everybody has the gift of tongues for their personal edification. That's the difference, sister. So I'm going to share some more scripture on this. Sister Tina.
I'm just trying to keep it. I wanted to give a testimony the first time that I heard the gift of tongues versus the prayer language. I was at Parkway Apostolic Church, and Parkway seats over 1,000 people. And back then, was in the late 80s, it was packed in there. And it was packed, and I mean, Holy Ghost was moving. Everybody was speaking in tongues. Everybody was praying. And all of a sudden, because you could hear it, you know, the people are speaking in tongues, and it sounded like wind. And all of a sudden, that would quiet down. And it was like God gave someone a microphone in the middle of that. And they started speaking in tongues real loud. And the whole church could hear. And then on the other side of the church, it was like God gave them a microphone. And they interpreted in English so we could all hear. You could actually feel the presence of God. It felt like Jesus himself was walking the aisles of the church.
that I just wanted to give you that testimony. Even though all those people were speaking in tongues, the gift of tongues is different. It comes out different, and it's for a different purpose.
Amen. And so, here's what I'm trying to say. Sister Nisa, we need to have that gift operated in our church more, the interpretation of tongues. Now, go ahead, Sister Nisa. So that is the difference.
This about the interpretation, like, one thing I see happening a lot is that when people speak in tongues here, specifically, there's almost never an interpretation, and when people are receiving the Holy Spirit or receiving the gift of tongues, people are standing around and they're waiting for them to speak a different language, and yet even still, there's no interpretation. Ever.
Okay, I'm going to make two points. When people are being filled with the Spirit, that's not the gift of tongues, so there will not be necessarily interpretation. You are right, and that's why I'm teaching about this. We need to have whoever has the gift of interpretation to start manifesting. That's what I'm saying. Our church needs that. That's why I'm talking about the gifts, Sister Johnny.
The Bible says that the natural man understandeth not the spiritual things. You can only understand spiritual things when you have the Spirit of God. And like you say, everyone who is born of the Spirit will receive the Holy Ghost, will be able to speak in tongues. That's just the natural gift that comes from God in speaking in tongues. But the gift of tongues, which is described in the Bible, and also just the regular normal gift of speaking in tongues, is not even for yourself. It's for the unbeliever. So that's a sign for the unbeliever to believe. But the gift of tongues is for the edification of the church. And it's two different things. You have to understand that it's two different things. Everyone who is born of the Spirit is going to speak in tongues. But the gift of tongues, which comes with an edification to the church, is for certain people to speak.
Right. So you are right, Sister Denise. Let me explain. In our church, we have had interpretation, but not as much. It has happened here. It's just that it's not as much as I would like. So Paul gives direction on how and when that should happen. So if there's a lot of speaking in tongues by one person and there's no interpretation, Paul says that person should sit down. Paul says that person should sit down. I'll give you the scripture, sister.
I actually heard somebody interpret the tongues before me, or somebody, Sister Joanne or Sister Johnny.
Yeah, it has happened here. It's just that what I'm teaching about the gifts is so that we stir up the gift. I am sure that there is more people who have that gift than have manifested. That's the reason why I'm teaching. That's the reason I'm teaching. So now, Corinthians 12 is speaking about the gift of tongues. I want you to really pay me attention here, because I'm almost finished. Corinthians 12 is speaking about the gift of tongues. Corinthians 14 is speaking about the Holy Spirit personal edification. You have a question.
Sometimes when people speak in tongues, God gives confirmation to reveal the groups of people. And when they speak in tongues, He tells them in the spirit what they're going through. And then when you go and relate to other people and tell them what God told you. So sometimes the interpreter is already there because they know what they're going through. And then when you say it to them, it already manifests.
Right. Well, when I pray for people, see, when I have prayed for people, and I don't do it often, I pray for people often, but I want to be sure before I tell them something that it's from God's Spirit, because again, people can misuse this and speak from their own flesh. And we don't want that either. Because that can do a lot more damage, and has done a lot of damage. So, we need to make sure that when someone is interpreting, that is truly from the Spirit and not from the flesh. And in a way, it's good that we don't have people jump up all the time, because we want to make sure. Now, I have given personal interpretation to people when I prayed for them. And it, we have seen it here, but we do want it more, but it has to be by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So, let me make it clear, we're going to finish this, but Corinthians 12 is speaking about the gift of tongues. Corinthians 14 is speaking about the gift of the Spirit, which is for edification. Now, let me read this completely. Paul is speaking about now speaking in tongues when he just prays, for your personal sake. This is what Paul says. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen? What he's saying is that when we're up together, it's no good if everybody's speaking in tongues and we have people who have no understanding who just came into the church. They'll think we're all crazy people. Right? That's what the Scripture says, not me. So we have to be in order. We have to be in order in operation. The Bible says that the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. This is what Paul says. How else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned, someone who just comes in here, say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? He's saying then that when we manifest the gift of the Spirit in our services all together, it will look confusing and won't edify someone who comes in and doesn't understand. Now, he's not saying that you shouldn't do it. He's saying, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. That stranger who comes in here, he doesn't know what's going on. He's going to think us crazy. Now, he's not condemning that, but he's saying it's got to be done in its proper place and in the right manner. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. He's not condemning them for speaking in tongues. He's just saying, if it's done, if we just give in to the feeling all the time, and we all just speak in tongues, and someone comes in here, how are they going to hear the gospel message? Now, I'm not saying we should quench the Spirit. It's a balance. Okay? I love worship. And I speak in tongues when I'm up here too. But I'm just saying that it's a balance. And sometimes we have to be aware that if we're going to win others, we can't speak into them in a heavenly language because they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not going to understand. That's why Sister Johnny said that the man up there would not deserve, would not understand the heavenly things. So he says, yet in the church, this is Paul, I would rather speak five words with my understanding than that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Isn't that what he says? So, in our private prayer, that's where we can let loose and pray in tongues. But he's saying in church it should be done in order so that there can still be edification.
I just wonder, there's a scripture where, I think it was Paul, but he was saying that he was talking about the Pharisees, and he said, the Pharisees, they go off in the broad roads and they make this showy display.
They make their phylacteries broad and they make this great show.
They rip their garments. And he said, you do this in the privacy of your home, and what you give to God in the privacy is, or what you give to God in private, he'll give to you in secret. He'll also give to you in secret. But if you're like outlandish and, you know, trying to, like, I don't know, like, have everybody look at you, or, you know,
absolutely,
then you're going to receive your reward right there.
You are right. It's a balance. There are some people who let emotion, and it becomes flesh. And it's a balance. At the same time, we're human. And if God has done something great for you, you're going to rejoice. You're going to want to shout. You're going to want to glorify God. So there is a balance there. There is a balance. But the Bible says the Spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. If we're truly filled with the Spirit and we are not letting our emotions get away with us, we're going to worship, but in order. We're going to give God glory, but in order. You can praise God. You can be happy. You can rejoice. But at the same time, we don't want to be knocking over guests. Right? Slapping people. Right? That's not in order. That's not going to win them. That's unspiritual. It's unscriptural. And we won't have it. Okay, Sister Denise, we're going to have to get with you on the Bible study, but go ahead.
Not question, but one thing to say. The scriptures say all things are lawful,
but not all things are advantageous. Right, expedient.
Paul gave a lesson in doing things for the betterment of your brother. So I may feel like I have this huge surge of emotion, and I just want to show that to everyone. But here in 19, it says, yet in the church, I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So what he's saying is, I put my brother before myself. I put my brother before my emotional surge, because I want to teach, I want to edify them, I want them to understand. When someone, being with someone who came, you know, from a different religion and not really all of this very, very new to me, it can be stumbling if you don't understand things. And especially when you really want to understand and you really want to know and you come and you're confused. Because this is not a place where you should be confused. I think the most important thing is thinking about how your actions are going to affect your future brother or your fellow brother, because this is about a life-saving work. It's not about being emotional. It's not about, oh, I have the gift of this or the gift of that, so I'm just going to go all out with it. You have to think about how your actions affect other people, because the scriptures say that if you stumble one of these least ones, it's going to be bad for you. Like, it's that serious.
Well, I appreciate what you said, but on the other hand, the Bible does say, quench not the spirit. So, it's a balance, is what I'm trying to say. If someone, for instance, Mary Magdalene, she manifested in a very unusual way. She came in the house, she took a box of alabaster jar, and started washing Jesus' feet. Now, that was offensive to some people. But Jesus said, what? Leave her alone. She has been forgiven much. So I hear what you're saying, and it's a balance. There are lines that some people cross where they let that go out of hand, and that's when the pastor has to say, you know, sit down, stop that. So there is a line, but on the other hand, the Bible also says, quench not the spirit. If you have been forgiven much, if you have the joy of the Lord, you're going to want to clap, you're going to sing. I agree with you. There are lines that people cross. They get out of hand, and that's why then the pastor has to come up or a deacon and say, take them next door if they want to do that outside. And some people do go off into the flesh and they just do it for a show. There's no doubt about that. And that's just as wrong. And so this is a very delicate and difficult thing. And that's why we have pastors. I don't really want to come up to someone and say, you need to sit down. But I'll do it because I want there to be order so that just for you say that visitors can learn and the church can grow. Paul says, I speak more than all of them. Where does he do it? He does it at home. That's where we really should be praying. Don't wait to come to church to get happy. You should be doing it at home. I received the Holy Spirit in my bedroom. It wasn't here. That's where I got filled. That's where I got filled. It was at home. We're going to have to come. But we're going to be doing this for another four. We're going to go more in depth. But you see, there are two things. There's the gift of tongues, which is for the edification. And there should be, the Bible says, interpretation. Paul gives it, lays it out. He says, by turn, two or three, by turn. And then he says, if there is not interpretation, they need to shut up and sit down. That's scripture. That's the word. Now, on the other hand, if you're worshiping and you start to speak in tongues, I'm not gonna shut you up. But if you start getting wild, I am. If you start hitting people, I'm gonna have to stop you. It's got to be done in order, right? Decently and in order. There's a balance there. The Bible also says, quench not the spirit. What Mary Magdalene did was out of order from the viewpoint of the Pharisees. What's this woman coming in here and pouring water and doing such a strange thing? But she was manifesting her deep love and the fact she had been forgiven. And in fact, Jesus said, wherever the gospel is preached, Her name is going to be mentioned. If you could stand with me, we're going to continue this. And I really love the input. Amen. And I hope you have been edified. Because we want our church to be in order so that God can manifest, that the gifts of the Spirit will move, that there will be interpretation. There should be more. I agree with you in this. And that's why I'm teaching on this, because there are people who are filled with the Spirit, who have gifts, and are ignorant about it. That's what the Scripture said. I would not have you ignorant. And that's what we want to teach, so that we speak what our gifting is, so that the church, the body of Christ, can be edified. Amen? Let's look, I'm going to give you this last slide today. It's to help the entire church. Wise counsel, gift of special, this is in modern English, special faith, power to heal the sick, power to perform miracles, to prophesy, discernment of spirit, speaking in an unknown tongue, interpretation of what's being said. As I said, that has happened here before, but not as much as I would like. And as I said too, in some places it gets misused. And people say things that are not of the Spirit. And so that's why it is a balance, and it takes people with the Spirit to discern and to test the Spirit. Amen. Now, teaching this is what is needed for us to grow. Amen. And we are going to grow by God's help, by God's blessing. Amen. If you could bow your heads with me, Father, we just thank you today for being at Rehoboth. Lord, let your Spirit have liberty. Lord, we don't want to quench your Spirit, Lord, but we want to be in order. We want our worship, hallelujah, to ascend as incense to your throne room. Lord, I pray you open our understanding to your word. Hallelujah to your way. Hallelujah to your desires in our life. Lord, let your anointing come into our second service. Let there be powerful ministry, Lord God. Let people who are suffering be delivered. Let your Holy Spirit minister to those who are hurting. We thank you right now, Jesus, for all that you're doing. Lord, we ask you to touch souls, touch hearts, Lord, change lives. Father, we just love you today. Let your word go forth with power, Lord God. Hallelujah, we thank you again in Jesus' name. If you could give God a praise offering. Hallelujah, thank you for being here. We'll start our second service.